Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? We turn together to the last portion of Scripture. The revelation of the Antichrist. A lot of people seem to think that the first verse of Revelation is the revelation of Antichrist. They can only find him in the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the true Christ. We look for the true Christ. Yes, the Antichrist is there, but he's the loser. Revelation chapter 22, tremendous chapter. We have some readers again tonight. I'm only going to be focusing really on one verse, but let's read the whole chapter for the context. Revelation 22, if each one could read three verses, we could have seven readers.
Sent my angel to justify, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I have a fruit offering to David in the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is heareth say, come. And let him that is a servant, who is ever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
And if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this salvation,
so is the end of the canon of Scripture. It ends with a very positive and emphatic note, doesn't it? Amen. May all these things be so, and they will be. I've been preaching on the metaphors of the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. Remember last week, outside in the back, a nice, sunny, warm night, we considered the three expressions that are all found in verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That though they're synonymous, yet they give distinct messages. That Christ is everything. Christ is everything to His people, for His people. Therefore, He deserves every form of praise from His people. And isn't it fitting that the last metaphor and expression is used by the Lord Jesus again Himself? Verse 16. I, Jesus, who is obviously the Christ, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Notice again the last book, the last chapter is for the churches right up to the end. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Again, three separate expressions of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the root of David. I am the offspring or shoot of David, fruit of David. And I am the bright and the morning star. I want us to ponder these expressions of Christ. It's a fitting final metaphor of the Savior. What is the whole Bible really expressing? Is it not anticipating the coming of Christ early in Genesis? And it is anticipating the second coming of Christ as we close the canon of Scripture. But what fitting words of the Lord Jesus, for the Bible is a revelation of Himself, and especially this last book is called the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a summary, really, of who Christ is and what He has come to do. Who is Christ? He is a man, but He's more than a man. He is God and man. And what has He come to do? He has come to save His people from their sins. When you look at a metaphor, you look at the topic, and the topic in verse 16 is Jesus Christ. The image is the root and fruit of a king, and also there is the bright and the morning star. There is the sun, so to speak. And you put these together and you see the point of similarity. Jesus is Lord and Savior as the Son of God and the Son of Man who has come to save His people from their sins. And you know, this book ends very similarly to the last book of the Old Testament. You remember the expression of Malachi in chapter 3? We memorized that verse in Sunday school. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings. What does He call Himself here in the last chapter? The bright and the morning star. The Son of Righteousness. When does the sun, as it were, appear on the horizon? At the darkest point of the night, doesn't it, so to speak? The sun begins to show itself. And the Lord Jesus came, literally, in His first coming at a very dark point in history. They that sat in darkness have seen a great light. When will Jesus come again? At a very dark point in history. We believe the Scripture teaches that He will come at the end of the tribulation period. A very dark time on the earth. But just like the daily darkness is dispersed by the coming of the sun, the emerging of the sun, so the Lord Jesus will come to dispel the darkness and to give hope to His people. I think this is a very fitting metaphor. Jesus is called the root of David. So the first truth is that Jesus is God. The second truth, Jesus is man. He's the offspring of David. And the third truth, therefore, Jesus saves. And He says, I am the bright and the morning star. These are just simple thoughts about Christ to end the canon of Scripture. He ends the Word of God saying, I am God, I am man, I am the theanthropic person. Therefore, I am the bright and the morning star. I am the one who dispels the darkness and gives life to my people. Remember, it says in the book of in the Gospel of John, He's the one that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And obviously, He's referring to His people, those who are in Christ. And you know, that's what the Bible is showing us throughout. That God is coming down to tabernacle with men. That is how man is going to be saved. God has to come down to tabernacle with us. You remember the Lord Jesus said that this teaching was not new, though it was something that was not understood by especially the unbelievers. It was something that was not a new thing. Psalm 110. You remember the Lord Jesus asked the question to the Pharisees, who is the Messiah? Who is Christ? I think that expression is found in Matthew chapter 22, isn't it? Jesus said, what think ye of Christ? They think to Him, admitted, He is the offspring of David. But Jesus said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call Him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And call Him Lord, how is He His son? And no man was able to answer Him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask Him any more questions. And He was quoting from Psalm 110. The Old Testament teaches that the Messiah would be God. He would not merely be an exalted man. And this was something that many Jews did not understand. And necessarily so, the Lord kept it back, at least in its fullness. Until the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. But I believe that the apostles did acknowledge Him to be the Son of God. You remember the Lord said to Peter, Who am I, Peter? First He asked, whom do men say that I am? Well, you're just a prophet raised from the dead, or an exalted prophet. But whom do you say that I am? It's very important that a believer, does acknowledge Jesus Christ to be divine. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. A believer acknowledges that his Savior is God, very God. Psalm 110 is a very strange expression. David is speaking, the Lord said unto my Lord. So there are two people in heaven, not one that he's referring to. Jehovah and Adonai. You see the two different names. Jehovah, all capitals. Master, one capital and then three small case letters. David was talking about two individuals. And we know in Scripture that it's referring to the Father and the Son. And the Master there of David is none other, as Jesus reveals, than the Messiah. The Lord Jesus ends the Scripture saying, I am divine. I know that's nothing new to us, but that is something that should be firmly fixed in our hearts. We have no salvation if Jesus Christ is not the root of David. Jesus is saying, I'm the one who created David. I'm the one who brought David into the world. I am the one who lived and died for David. I am David's Savior. I am David's Lord. This answers the question, who is Christ? He is more than a man. He is divine. He is the root of David. Our Savior is God come down in the flesh. Our Savior is not Anthropos only. He is Theos. He is God. Jesus is God. That's an amazing thing, that God walked the earth. That God came down to save us from our sins. I am the root of David. Jesus says, I am not just the root, but I am the offspring of David. Revelation chapter 22. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am his descendant. So you answer the question, who is Christ, or who is the man Christ? He is more than a man. He is God. But then you ask, well, who is the God Christ? He is more than God. He is man. He is not merely God in a phantom-like body. His body was real. His humanity was real. He had a real human soul and a real human body. Jesus is both God and man. He is God who has become man, a mystery, a miracle. But John is specifically one of the writers who underline this truth that God came down to become a man. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, even as of the only begotten Son of God. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. This is a great mystery. Perhaps the greatest miracle ever is God becoming man. Yes, salvation is a great miracle. The resurrection is a great miracle. But perhaps the greatest miracle of all is that God became man. Because that, in essence, is our salvation. Jesus is God. He's the root of David. Jesus is man. He's the offspring of David. That's what the Pharisees could not understand. They thought that the Messiah was an exalted man who would come and overthrow the Roman government, bring them an external salvation. They had no clue, really, that they needed an internal revolution in their soul. Yet they were ignorant of the Scripture. Here they were supposed to be teachers of the Scripture, but all they had to do is read through Ezekiel. A new heart will I give you. Ezekiel speaks of the dry bones coming to life and having flesh put upon them and being new creatures. Jesus is God and man, and He says, therefore I am the bright and the morning star. The bright star, always shining. Though it is dark, I am shining. You know, that's a truth we discovered in time, didn't we? That the sun never set. the sun is always shining. Though we cannot see it, it's shining in Australia. Though they cannot see it, it is shining in North America. He is the bright star, always shining. And the bright star speaks of the brightest of all stars. The word phosphorus in the Scriptures. The Savior is the sun of all suns, the star of all stars. You remember Balaam was forced to say that a star of Jacob shall come and shall smite the corners of Moab. He's the morning star. He always enlivens. He is the bright star, always revealing and reviving and drawing us to His glory. But the morning star, always fresh, always faithful, never setting, never failing, never dying. Jesus closed the Old Testament canon with a revelation of Himself as the bright in the morning star. And He said that He is the Son of Righteousness that will come with healing in His wings. But unto you that fear My name shall the Son of Righteousness. And you ask, does this mean the Son that gives righteousness or the Son that has righteousness? I think in this case it's referring to the Son who is righteous, because He goes on to say what He will do because He is the Son of Righteousness. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings, like the sun comes and dispels not only the darkness, but also it removes the coldness. So the Lord Jesus, when He comes to the soul, dispels the darkness of sin and removes the coldness of heart. And isn't it wonderful when the sun arises, when it emerges in the morning? Isn't it true that the darkness dispels and the coldness begins to dissipate and to lessen? And the Savior promised that He would arise with healing in His wings, and His people would be revived. They would go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Not old cows, but calves. Young, vibrant. And Jesus told His apostles that they would catch lively men when they witnessed. And look at how He ends the canon. Look, I am the bright in the morning star that I promised would come. In Malachi, I have come. But He ends up the canon not just saying, I have come, and I have healed, and I have shown you by the apostles and the early church that My people would be calves grown up in the stall, going forth. Have you ever seen calves when they leave the stall? They kick and they frolic and they run into the field to graze. And so the Savior says, My people will be a people with life. But He ends the canon not just saying that He's the one who would come, but He's the one that's coming again. He's going to arise again and come back in a time of great darkness and coldness. And He's going to dispel it. And I wonder, are we rebuked by that? He says, shall the Son of Man come and find faith on the earth? And no wonder why the message subsequent and the resultant of that is the Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit who's in the Bride, so that both the Spirit and the Bride, we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is using the church to evangelize, saying, come. It's already now. Christ has come. There's salvation because He is divine and He is human. He is the Son of Righteousness that can give you healing. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And the Lord Jesus ends the canon by saying, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And we respond, even so. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the message that ends the canon. That Jesus is God, Jesus is man, therefore Jesus saves. Very simple thought. I don't have anything else to say. That's, I think, what that triple metaphor teaches us in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. You know, simple gospel message is what we need and what people need. Why don't we tell people this truth? Jesus is the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Friend, Jesus is God. Jesus is man. Therefore, He can bridge the two together and reconcile God and man. He can save you from your sins. I think we just need to stick to a simple gospel in preaching to people, in witnessing to souls. They're in darkness. They're cold to God. What do they need? They need the bright and the morning star to arise and dispel that darkness and to remove that coldness. Let us renew our desire to proclaim such a Christ. Let us never cease to be thrilled of these revelations of the Savior. This is a revelation. It's an unveiling that Jesus wants us to consider tonight. And I hope that this message will stick with you. It's a simple message. And you know, some of the simplest things are fixated upon us as we ponder them. Jesus is God. Jesus is man. Therefore, Jesus saves. He's the bright and the morning star, the sun of righteousness that arises with healing in His wings. Let's sing a couple hymns as we close.